Welcome to worship from Westwood Church. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my great joy to welcome you to our worship today. On this second Sunday of Advent, we invite you to consider with us the invitation of peace. And I want you to know that you are very welcome in our midst. We believe that our worship is made more beautiful and rich by the participation of all those who are a part of this today, even in virtual space. And we celebrate and give thanks for the diversity of our community. We celebrate our diversities of age and race, of gender and sexual orientation, and we declare the belonging and belovedness of all God's children in this community. I hope that you will participate as much as you're able. We have a worship guide that you can pull up on a device or print out, so you have words and music for songs and prayers. We're celebrating Holy Communion this morning, and as we speak the words and share in the table, on the video, we also invite you to participate from home. If you're able, we invite you to get some kind of bread or bread product, and we traditionally use grape juice, but wine or another beverage that comes from the earth so that you can participate with us from home. We hope that you will join us in sharing in the mystical unity that becomes possible through the work of Christ. If you haven't already, I hope you'll say good morning and wish peace to one another in the comments here on this video. I hope that you will know and feel the gift of community as we gather online today. May the peace of Christ be with you.
In a war-torn and polarized world, amid dehumanizing prejudice, the evil of racism, and explosive bombs, we claim peace in Christ's coming. As we prepare to light two Advent candles, we share these ancient words from the prophet Isaiah. "Comfort, O comfort, my people," says your God. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him, his reward with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. He gently lead the mother sheep.
We light a candle of peace. Come, Jesus, come. Amen.
God of Shalom, we pray for our hearts, our homes, and our world, so full of war and rumors of war. Give us the wisdom and courage to be peacemakers, to come the way of friendship. Show us the way to prepare for your coming, to make the rough places plain, to help create a lasting shalom in your world, a peace that is louder than the explosion of bombs. Come, Prince of Peace, come. Amen.
Amazing Peace, a Christmas poem by Dr. Maya Angelou. Thunder rumbles in the mountain passes, and lightning rattles the eaves of our houses. Snow falls upon snow, falls upon snow to avalanche over unprotected villages. The sky slips low and gray and threatening. We question ourselves. What have we done to so affront nature? We worry, God. Are you there? Are you there, really? Does the covenant you made with us still hold? Into this climate of fear and apprehension, Christmas enters, streaming lights of joy, ringing bells of hope, and singing carols of forgiveness high up in the bright air. The world is encouraged to come away from rancor, come the way of friendship. It is the glad season. Thunder ebbs the silence and lightning sleeps quietly in the corner. Flood water recedes into memory. Snow becomes a yielding cushion to aid us as we make our way to higher ground. Hope is born again in the faces of children. It rides on the shoulders of our aged as they walk into their sunsets. Hope spreads around the earth, brightening all things, even hate which crouches, breeding in dark corridors. In our joy, we think we hear a whisper. At first it is too soft, then only half heard. We listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness. The word is peace. It is loud now. It is louder. Louder than the explosion of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by its presence. It is what we have hungered for. Not just the absence of war, but true peace. A harmony of spirit. A comfort of courtesies. Security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We clap hands and welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon this good season to wait a while with us. We Baptists and Buddhists, Methodists and Muslims say come, peace. Come and fill us and our world with your majesty. We the Jew and the Jainist, the Catholic and the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us, so we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. It is Christmas time, a halting of hate time. On this platform of peace, we can create a language to translate ourselves to ourselves and to each other. At this holy instant, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the great religions of the world. We jubilate the precious advent of trust. We shout with glorious tongues at the coming of hope. All the earth's tribes loosen their voices to celebrate the promise of peace. We angels and mortals, believers and non-believers, look heavenward and speak the word aloud. Peace, we look at our world and speak the word aloud. Peace, we look around each other, then into ourselves, and we say it without shyness or apology or hesitation. Peace, my brother. Peace, my sister. Peace, my soul.
Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. On this first Sunday of December and second Sunday of Advent, we lift the theme of peace as we light candles and sing beloved songs, as we turn to treasures from Scripture, from the ancient prophet Isaiah, and from our gospel. We open space to imagine the transformation that God's peace brings into our world. We have also again this Sunday another poem from Maya Angelou, again given visual interpretation by our grapple group. The young people of our congregation have added their interpretation into these words, and I invite you also to engage with this poem through our devotional through this week. As I read this poem, one stanza in particular struck me, where the poet talks about peace, true peace, she says, which she flags is not just the absence of war. Instead, these are her words, it is a harmony of spirit, a comfort of courtesies, security for our beloveds and their beloveds. These are the words that pierced into my heart this week. Peace as security for our beloveds and their beloveds. Security seems so inaccessible in these days in particular. The reality of pandemic continues to steal life from our world, to bring devastation on communities of color and people of all races, that continues to change our lives, both as we're directly affected by it, as people we love are infected and suffering and dying, but also as it changes how we do things, as we make a strange calculus about how to preserve ourselves and life, as we weigh the balance of the risks that we necessarily have to take against caution that will guard health for ourselves, for those we love, for those we do not know. The decisions we have to make are bizarre as we wonder how many more Christmases we'll have left with loved ones and try to decide what to do, how to be family together. To imagine the gift of peace as not merely an absence of fighting, but a presence of wellness, a security for our beloveds and their beloveds. I think of the invitation of this season to be, as the ancient prophet Isaiah spoke it, comfort, comfort for our people. The invitation of this season is to turn our attention then to care for one another and for this world as a way to get to peace. Our texts this Sunday talk about making a way. In the Gospel of Mark, the gospel opens with a quick line framing the whole of the story as the good news of Jesus Christ, literally the gospel of Jesus Christ, giving us a frame from the beginning that reminds us that this is life and goodness. It is liberation and joy. And then it turns almost immediately both to the prophet Isaiah and to John the Baptizer, who comes into the wilderness helping prepare a way for Jesus to come to leadership, for Jesus to come to the world and to bring his gift. As John enters the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, we find ourselves in a wilderness today. In some years, some of us are able to feel mostly secure. And when we do so, we imagine the wilderness is a place outside of our communities outside of our present moment, a place of danger and otherness. But people all along have engaged the wilderness in a variety of ways. One of the gifts of womanist theology, that is, theology of Black feminists, that's not only different because it's done by Black women, but different because it brings a voice and perspective that more pointedly and carefully articulates an orientation toward the good and the well-being of the whole. Womanist theology reminds us that wilderness, while sometimes a place of danger, has often also always been a place in which we encounter God and are sustained by the power of God. Dolores Williams speaks of the wilderness as that place of survival and tending for Hagar when she's sent out of the household of Abraham and Sarah, pregnant with Ishmael. The wilderness is a place of alternate reality. It is not a place of established security in the conventional sense, but it is also a place of escape from a broken and destructive system and establishment and institution that also was not ever life for all. The wilderness then represents an opportunity for transformation and change. It's not yet the kingdom of God, but it's also a needed escape, a dismantling of the oppressive systems, of the status quo, of the powers that be, of the institution. And so John the Baptist goes to the wilderness to do this proclamation of another way, this call to repentance and transformation that makes the way for the coming of the Lord. In this moment, fewer of us are able to pretend that we are not in a bit of a wilderness. More and more of us feel the reality of wilderness around us as the systems and institutions, the structures and patterns and habits that we counted on to give our life form and order no longer work, no longer function. We find ourselves in a bit of a wild space. But that wild space is not ever a space that is devoid of God. Instead, I believe that it is full of possibility for what God can do. It is a space of danger and possibility, of life and of mortality, a space of openness and change. This Advent, I invite you to experience the wilderness around us, not as a theoretical exercise, but in attention to the space you inhabit, to notice and acknowledge the things that are no longer working, the pieces that are broken, the systems and habits that we've had to leave. And to feel in this space of wilderness a spacious invitation to rethink what might come to be. There is an invitation in our scripture, an invitation in the gospel to imagine a way to peace. And it comes as we make that way in the wilderness, as we together center ourselves out at the margins, outside of what we've built and counted on, to find a pathway that leads us together to a new way of being. And it will always be healing and comfort and security for our beloveds and their beloveds, for our neighbors and strangers among us. There is this quality of the life that we're called to together with God that is about the precious work of loving and tending and caring for one another. I believe that in this season of Advent, God is inviting us to especially take up this work of giving and receiving mutual care, of being careful with one another, not for the sake of how good it makes us look, but because we genuinely acknowledge that God's fulfillment of promise requires our participation in the work of tending and healing, of giving balm, of offering care, of acknowledging wounds and brokenness. With several friends this week, I've been acknowledging how, in many ways, it feels like many of us are feeling like we've been unable to do what we want to sufficiently care for one another in the ways that we'd hoped, because all of us are struggling along the way. All of us are in need of care, as well as in need of giving care. So I invite you in this season to recognize and name and know our shared location in wilderness, in brokenness, in exile from the life that we had counted on. If we didn't always love the obligations put on us during the holiday season, at least we understood what they were. But now it's like we have to make our own way through this season, as we have to make our own way through our life of faith, seeking God and holding on to the values that connect us to one another and to the divine. The text that we read from the book of Isaiah today is from a chapter that stands at a hinge point in the whole of the book of Isaiah. Though it's included in our Bible as one book of the prophet Isaiah, scholars acknowledge that it was written over a vast period of time. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah, called Proto-Isaiah, were written before the exile. But this chapter we started with today, chapter 40, was written after, while in exile. The reality of the trauma of the exile is absent from the text. It doesn't indicate that it has happened, but there's a shift in the message and the tone and the voice that is used to describe God's word to the people of Israel. And so we start here in chapter 40 in a completely different location. And in some ways, as we start this season of Advent in an unfamiliar location, unfamiliar to all of us, these words give us compass bearings of how we might orient ourselves toward the love of God. And the orientation that Isaiah offers us is one of comfort and care. It's an image of a God who, like a shepherd, is both strong and nurturing. It's an invitation to remember that our God is a God of care and compassion. I pray that you would know that gift of compassion in your life where you are, that you would hear these beautiful words sung so beautifully to Handel's music from the Messiah, spoken so faithfully through the prophet Maya Angelou, who offered these words for a White House holiday tree lighting, given voice in a Spanish folk song, contributed to the canon of church music in the years after Vatican II, when the Roman Catholic Church shifted to put the texts of our religious life not only in Latin, but also in the language of the people. And it uses this beautiful agricultural and personal imagery to call us again and again to remember how all earth is waiting for the promised coming of God. We sit together with all creation in longing for a different way, in a hunger for Christ's peace, because we know that that peace is so much deeper than merely a cessation of outward violence. God's peace, God's shalom, requires a well-being of interrelationship among us all. And it's only possible to access that when we live together with care, with compassion, tending to one another and seeking after the well-being of all. This Advent season, I invite you to that work of tending. More like planting seeds than issuing proclamations. More like caring for the wounds of the world than claiming triumph. It's an invitation to a faithfulness that makes a way toward peace by living with and for one another along the way. In Maya Angelou's poem, she makes a long list of the rich diversity of our U.S. American nation, calling out the diversities of faith communities who she invites to participate in the hopefulness of this season. Not in a triumphalistic way, not in a way that requires everyone to be transformed to understand in the same way that we who are Christian do, but in a way that opens up a deep compassion that's built on the beauty of the particularity and diversity of the whole of our community. Her words are elegant, and I want to leave you with just a few more lines. She invites us to come. She invites God's peace to come. Come and fill us and our world with your majesty. We, the Jew, the Jainist, the Catholic, and the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us so we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. The gift of peace is one of community and interrelationship, of belonging and belovedness. May it be so. Amen.
Mountain until made low. broken strait. The crooked strait, the crooked strait, and the rough places plain. And the rough places plain, and the rough places plain. The crooked strait. And the rough places plain.
Good morning. We at the 580 Cafe welcome you to join us in this morning's prayers of the people. Let us pray. God of preparation and waiting, you gather us here from many places, understandings, traditions, to lift our hearts and spirits in prayer for all creation, for people, families, workers, nations, calling us to seek light in the encroaching darkness, to hold on to hope as we anticipate and strive for the birth of righteousness and peace. Emmanuel, God with us, you have shown us the face of divinity, revealed in an infant born in poverty and injustice, in a time of political and religious strife. You remind us of the fullness of our humanity, though wrapped in the rags of the world's worries and despair. You bring life and hope to our struggle for compassion and justice. We pray for the healing of our planet from the devastations of hurricanes, typhoons, fires, and climate change that destroy your creation and disrupt the lives and livelihoods of your people. We pray for the healing of our country from the devastations of racism, poverty, sexism, homophobia, hate that destroy and disrupt the lives and livelihoods of your people. We pray for the healing of people, families, friends, from the devastations of COVID-19, cancer, HIV, that destroy and disrupt the lives and livelihoods of your people.
We pray for those impacted by an overwhelming financial stress from the devastation of job loss, economic instability, and limited resources that destroy and disrupt the lives and livelihood of your people. We pray for children, families, communities struggling for food, shelter, connection, for the devastation of policy and practices that limited access to affordable options that destroy and disrupt the lives and livelihoods of your people. We pray for the mental and physical well-being of each individual in this earth from the devastation of anxiety, trauma, fears that destroy and disrupt the lives and livelihood of your people.
하나님 아버지, 이 어려운 시국 속에서 주님이 언제나 함께 하심을 믿습니다. 많은 사람들이 경제적으로 힘들어하고 불안한 미래의 두려움에 갇혀 있습니다. 아버지, 우리가 이 광야에서도 주님의 축복을 맛볼 수 있도록 새 힘을 허락하여 주시옵시고 주님의 도우심을 기다릴 수 있는 지혜를 허락하여 주시옵소서. 그리고 이 580 카페 공동체 안에서 더 주님의 사랑을 나눌 수 있고 그리고 또 이 공간을 주관하는 진에게도 주님의 사랑을 더 전할 수 있도록 힘을 허락하여 주시옵소서. 이 모든 것을 주님에게 감사드리고 예수님의 이름으로 기도드립니다. 아멘.
We pray for the Filipino and Palestinian peoples from the devastations of natural disaster, landlessness, and terrible oppression. that destroy and disrupt the lives and livelihoods of your people.
Ipinagdarasal namin ang mga mamamayang Pilipino at Palestinian mula sa mga sakunang dulot ng natural na kalamidad, kawalan ng lupa, at kakilakilabot na pangaapi na sumisira at gumagambala sa buhay at kabuhayan ng iyong bayan.
We pray for our Black and Indigenous siblings from the devastations of police brutality, poverty, and colonial dehumanization that destroy and disrupt the lives and livelihoods of your people.
Ipinagdarasal namin ang aming mga kapatid na Black at Katutubo mula sa mga sakunang dulot ng kaharasan ng polis, kahirapan at dehumanisasyong kolonyal na sumisira at gumagambala sa buhay at kabuhayan ng iyong bayan.
We pray for all oppressed peoples, from the devastations of ignorance, fear of each other, and a profound lack of needed love that destroy and disrupt the lives and livelihoods of your people.
Ipinagdarasal namin ang lahat ng mga api mula sa mga sakunang dulot ng kamangmangan, takot sa bawat isa, at kakulangan ng kinakailangang pagmamahal na sumisira at gumagambala sa buhay at kabuhayan ng iyong bayan. God who has come, God who does come, God who is yet to come, make us an Advent people, ready and alert to welcome and receive you. In the stranger's face, the loving act, the moment of grace, the presence of healing, the birth of possibility, the gift of wonder. Let every heart prepare you room.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As a part of our worship this morning, we are invited to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. This invitation to share in the grace present at Christ's table is an invitation that comes from God, and everyone is welcome. We prepare ourselves for this gift by offering ourselves in confession to God. Will you join me as we pray? Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, those things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear this good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are a forgiven people. Glory to God. Amen. I invite you to join me now as we set our tables for the sacrament of communion.
You.
And also with you.
Open your hearts to the one who is love.
We open our hearts to you, O God.
Let us give thanks to God who gathers us together.
To the one who welcomes us to the table, we give thanks and praise.
God, your invitation to come and feast in your presence is but a taste of the love you extend to us every day. By your grace, we come to recognize the holiness that dwells in the world around us, in our neighbors, in our own internal depths. Therefore, we join our voices with your people on earth and all the company of the heavens, singing praise to you. Holy, holy, holy one, God of justice and love, heaven and earth are full of your wonder. Hosanna among us.
Blessed are you, and blessed is your eternal table. This sacrament crosses national borders, welcoming all your children around the world. You ask us to extend this same welcome to all our neighbors, but God, since our beginning, we have struggled.
And so, in your love for us, you took on flesh in Jesus. In his life, you revealed the sacredness in all life. You showed us how to live together, even among forces of destruction.
Believing it could transform the world, Jesus proclaimed the good news. His commitment to practicing love knew no bounds, not even the bounds of death.
On the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his companions. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
After the meal, he took the cup, blessed it, and shared it, saying, "This cup that is poured out is the new covenant. In remembrance of all you have done to save us, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ was birthed among us. Christ died among us. Christ rises again among us."
So pour out your spirit on these gifts, O God. Make these ordinary elements into the sacred gift of your presence with us once again, uniting us in sacred space. May they awaken us anew to your everlasting invitation into a life of resurrection.
In collective longing for a taste of your kingdom on earth, we join together in the prayer of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one God, we, though many, and in many places, are one body. We share in the body of Christ in remembrance of him. The body of Christ given for you.
We share in this blessing of the cup of the new covenant. The cup of blessing poured out for you and for all.
God, by the bread of heaven and the cup of life, you make us one body. Bind us together by your Spirit that we might live into your hopes for us, a community centered in Christ and rich in compassion, commitment, courage, and care. May it be so. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope you felt the presence of God with you where you are and the invitation of Christ's peace during the season of Advent. I hope that you will continue to go deeper in your life of faith and in connection to our congregation. There are a couple of special ways I invite you to connect. One is by sharing in our follow-up conversation today at 11 a.m. by Zoom. The link is in the e-news. Anyone is welcome. The second is by coming to our online Christmas concert this afternoon, Carols of the Past. We're excited to be able to share some beautiful music with you. Some of it recorded over recent days that we'll share, and some of it live in our sanctuary this afternoon with just a few musicians who will be present here in this space. It's a different way of gathering for a concert than usual, but the magic of video and internet lets us share some carols from many years past as well, as we offer back some treasures from the vault, recordings of music in this space over the years. I hope you'll join at 3 p.m. It's free. It's happening on Facebook Live, and I hope you'll be there. You can pour yourself a cup of cocoa and settle in somewhere comfortable for an afternoon of beauty and music. The third way I want to invite you to participate during this season is by physically coming to our campus to share in a series of prayer stations that are on the outside of the church along Wilshire Boulevard. You're invited to come and meditate on these images that use photography by our former missionary Paul Jeffrey, and invite consideration of the themes of Advent during this season. You can come at any time. It's public and in the open air. So we hope that it will be a way to gather for devotion that doesn't actually bring people in close proximity with each other, but lets us come to this beautiful space. I am grateful for your part in the life of our congregation and pray that God will be with you through this week. So as we conclude our time together, I pray that you would go forth to know that you are one of God's beloveds. And I invite you to go out into the care of one another for the sake of Christ's peace. Be in peace. Amen.